This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. A new political landscape is emerging in Alabama following last week's conviction of now former Alabama House Speaker Mike Hubbard. On Friday night, a jury in Lee County convicted Hubbard on 12 felony ethics charges. He could face up to 20 years in prison for each charge. Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald watched much of the testimony, was there as the verdict came down. He joins us, as he does most Thursdays, to talk politics this morning, catching him by phone. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Now, Hubbard was convicted of 12 counts, but he was acquitted of 11. And what is that mixture of what he was convicted on, what he was acquitted on? What does that tell you about how the jury saw this case?
Well, tell me the jury was very attentive and was very serious about what they were doing. There were some charges related to his time at the as chairman of the Alabama Republican Party that he was acquitted on. The jury kind of looked at that and said, well, maybe some of that was before his time. There were charges related to Bob Riley and Minda Riley that I think they really believed that they were friends rather than a corrupt situation. So, I think it really indicated to me that they took the charges and their duty very seriously.
How big a deal is that friendship exception in the ethics law? How big a role did that play?
Well, it played a big role in the defense, maybe bigger than it was designed to be. I mean, the exception itself really says that, you know, if you have a history of, you know, giving each other gifts at Christmas or that sort of thing, then there is an exception to that. It really is not meant to apply to jobs and contracts and things like that. But it was used as a defense, and it was used fairly effectively.
Well, you've written critically about Hubbard and of political corruption among politicians in general. This law that Hubbard was tried under was one that he championed when Republicans took over the legislature, took over state government, really, in 2010. Now that we've had sort of this real-world application before a judge and jury, how effective do you see this law?
Well, I think the law was shown here to be extremely effective, and I think this was a major test of it. I think there will be some movement among some lawmakers now to make it less effective, and I think that's what we'll watch going forward is will there be efforts to try to weaken the law and to try to clarify some of this even more, and I think we probably will.
Well, in terms of those politicians, Mobile Representative Victor Gaston becomes acting speaker now that Hubbard is removed from his position. Who do you see filling that speaker seat permanently?
Well, I think he may take a shot, and there are several others. Bill Poole is one that's being talked about a lot. People like Bill Williams would like to be considered. It's really interesting, though, to see that there's not really there's kind of a vacuum in the sense that Mike Hubbard wielded such power that there's nobody really waiting to take that job. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens and who gathers the support to become the next, you know, face of the House.
Well, apart from the legislature, Mike Hubbard was a powerful figure within Alabama politics, within the Alabama Republican Party. Where does the party go? Who fills that power vacuum?
That's a good question as well. There's been a little dissension between the Republican Party and the Mike Hubbard wing of the party for a while. I mean, let's face it, the Republican Party, when Bill Armistead was chair there, was one of the first people that kind of made noise about some of the contracts that Mike Hubbard had. So there's been a little dissension there. What really is going to turn out to be, I think, there's this kind of fight between the ideological wing of the Republican Party and the Business Council of Alabama wing of the Republican Party. And what's going to be interesting to see which side sort of wins that battle. And right now it's up in the air.
Well, you create a list of winners and losers coming out of this trial. Your number one loser, you say, is former Governor Bob Riley. Why is that?
There were many emails, of course, that came out in the course of this trial that between Riley and Hubbard, and it just indicated a sort of kind of greed and desire for more money in business that it was kind of unseemly. And one of the things Alabama had looked at Bob Riley, many Alabamians had looked at Bob Riley and said, hey, at least he didn't embarrass us. At least he wasn't indicted like so many of the others. And it just painted a different picture of him than a lot of Alabamians would like to remember.
Well, you say that the people of Alabama are the biggest winners, which is sort of a nice sentiment from a columnist. But you also listed Prosecutor Matt Hart as a winner, and certainly he won his case. But is there something more to it than just that?
Yeah, I think it's very significant. I think this was a sort of litmus test. If this case had if he'd been acquitted on this case, I don't think either Matt Hart would be making any other cases, and I don't think many people would be rushing out to hold the politicians responsible under the ethics law. So I think that it was very significant for the people of Alabama and for the prosecution, because these things will continue.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News, online anytime at al.com. John, thanks for checking in with us.
Thanks, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
You too.